Welcome to Wellness Radio with Dr. Jeanette Gallagher as your host. Her show discusses topics of health, wellness, and spirituality, and is about discovering your place in this great universe, from your cells to the cosmos. Along with her guests, in casual conversation, she strives to ask the difficult questions that may be holding you back from a vibrant life, and shares new ideas that may inspire you to make a change in your life that you only can see in your dreams. And now, here is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Wellness Radio. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us here this evening. Tonight, we are going to be talking about messages from heaven. What is it all about? Are you finding feathers, pennies? Are you finding little books and trinkets in different places? Are your loved ones that have passed on sending you messages? Just want you to know they are still there. It truly is about being able to say, are we aware of what's going on around us? How are we engaging in the world to be able to notice these little gems? And can we pay attention and say, wow, I'm really having a difficult day today? And all of a sudden, when an M&M shows up on the floor, you say, ah, my child, my father, my mother may have just been here. And it shifts your energy, it changes your life for the better, and you just feel like something is complete. My guest today is Monica Morrissey. Her book is Dimes from Heaven, How Coins and Coincidences Helped Me Discover My Life as an Empath. Monica, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're so welcome. Don't you think, Monica, sometimes we just run in and run in and we don't even notice things? And sometimes it takes, you have to hit the wall to be able to figure it out, right?
Oh, for sure. That definitely happened to me.
Yeah, I think sometimes we say, what is going on in our life? And we're so wrapped up in maybe grief or loss after a loved one passes on. And we say, but I didn't see it. I can't hear it. I don't know. And it's almost as if there's a veil over us and we can't see or hear anything except what's going on in our own mind and broken heart, don't you think?
Well, that's how I was raised, and that's why I've always had this kind of connection that I couldn't quite explain. And so, yeah, I just kind of ignored it for a long time. And then once I let it happen, then I was definitely surprised at how easy it would be, easier than I thought.
You know what's interesting is that I'm in my 60s. Are you in the 50s or 60s?
I'm about to turn 51.
Right. Well, you're barely there, but that's kind of cool. But here's the big thing is that a lot of us that grew up, you know, I grew up 50s and 60s, you know, 1950s and 1960s. And if we look back at it, a lot of things that were going on then were considered normal. They were kind of harsh. A lot of people had traumas. A lot of things were going on. Life was hard. And then we kind of like made our way through, did what we could for the 70s, 80s, and 90s. Now, since it's turned 2000, it's all about the soul, and we're going, well, heck, I was just getting a good handle on my career. Now you took my career away, you know, or I was really getting a really great, you know, sexy body, and now my body's gone. What happened? Where did cancer come from? Or, you know, we got a really good handle on my money, and then the banks tank. Don't you think it's almost society has been on the same or similar path as you and I?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I never expected to write a book. I was okay in my career and never intended for this, and it was just this calling that I couldn't ignore. And I feel like more and more people are like listening to that more than before, and more people are talking about it, which I love.
Yeah. You know, what's interesting is when you said you write a book and you've also been a teacher, there's many a times I will read through someone's book and it's almost like diagramming a sentence. Do you ever remember that? I don't know if you had that, when you diagram a sentence.
Yes, I did.
Yeah. And, you know, I would circle something, underline that, and X out the rest. And I'll go, you know, noun, verb, we're good.
Yep.
And or I would look for the emotion, or I would look for the kind of like the takeaway in like one word. And it was so funny when you say that because, you know, a lot of teachers that I've spoken to in the past, they've said, well, yeah, I knew I was kind of going to do that, but I kind of, you know, I was teaching kids all along. And it's almost, is this completing the circle? Is it bringing it forward? And is it sharing in a different way what you had already been doing?
Yeah, I mean, I had been studying Louise Hay and Wayne Dyer for over 20 years. And so to put it all, you know, to wrap it all up into a book, it kind of actually surprised me. I wrote my book really quickly, and I actually did not intend to write a book, and it just literally came out of nowhere. And there's times today that I still am like, did I just do that? What just happened there? Because it was really when I started listening to, you know, my internal voice and my soul, I felt really connected when I was writing this. And it was just so different than what you were just talking about a few minutes ago, where you said, like, you know, you've got your life and your job, and then you go and you do your errands after work, and then you come home, and then you do it again the next day. Like,
right.
Stepped away from that for a little bit and kind of went deeper.
Yeah.
And it definitely was a different experience for me.
You know, it almost takes you into a world of your own. I'm not sure, you know, maybe you've had these experiences where you're sitting there writing, and all of a sudden you don't notice time, and you almost have to shake your head to say, oh, where am I? What time is it? And what's going on around me? Because you almost step into a timeline as if you were just recalling every moment in the present, don't you think?
Yeah, I was... when I was writing, I definitely would lose track of time and forget to eat and forget to, you know, do anything. And sometimes my husband, he would just look at me and be like, oh, you're in writing zone. Like, yep. Like, I don't, like, he just knew that I wasn't even interacting with him at all. And I was just, I definitely felt that for the first time in my life. But when I was young, my mother scared me, and I used to, like, start to write things, and she told me not to write anything that would be embarrassing. And
right.
That part comes up in the book, but, like, I was scared to write. And then once I started and allowed myself to write, I couldn't believe what happened. Like, I was just so astonished at how much it changed me as a person, just putting this down on paper.
Yeah.
But definitely, I know what you're saying. Like, it was just, and I write best first thing in the morning. Similar to what Wayne Dyer explains about, like, it just is coming from spirit, is coming from someplace else. It wasn't, I mean, I felt like I was kind of channeling some stuff and just pieced together very quickly.
Don't you think that many people who are in their elder years want to now share those secrets because they believe the ones that were vested in keeping them in force have now passed away? In other words, there's a lot of us who won't write stories yet because we don't, if we actually opened up your hearts or opened up your thoughts and put them on paper, it would feel a sense of many times people would say, that's not good, or, you know, they'll feel like they lose family members or loved ones, or they will feel that it's just, you know, people coming at them. Don't you think sometimes trying to write your story and be the keeper of the secrets is a difficult job?
For sure. You know, I've definitely, I mean, that part comes up in my story, you know, how scared I am to share this, especially being a public school teacher, and I'm talking about spirituality and what that means and what it means for me. It was definitely a scary thing for me to do, but I also felt very passionate that if sharing my story could at least help one person or help one young person especially and have them not have to go through what I went through, it made it worth it. And I've had several readers send me messages and they're like, hey, I'm your one person. It's like I haven't totaled up how many ones I've got, but a lot of ones. And, you know, it made it worth it for me to dare to share my story for sure.
You know, it's interesting when you just said that. For everyone that says that, you should have a big jar and put a penny in it, you know, the pennies from heaven thing.
Yeah.
You know, and then just let it and see how it just grows, you know.
Yeah, that would be an interesting thing to do.
Yes. Let's talk for a second about angels and spirituality. And a lot of times people will say that's woo-woo, that's kind of crazy. I myself have seen angels and dark figures and, you know, all of those things. I see them all the time, always have. It's been there my entire life. And I think sometimes when people say, well, that seems kind of strange to me. Are you giving up your religion? How does religion fit in with those words?
Yeah, I mean, I talk about that in my book, and I kind of differentiate between spirituality and structured religion. I think that there's a lot in structured religion that does rules, and, you know, some religions talk about the, you know, the sins and different things like that, and I tend not to focus on those parts. I really kind of go back to the Course in Miracles and the light and the energy, and that everything should be positive. And I try not to go into the structured religion pieces. And some people, it's been interesting. Some people were very surprised about my book and me coming out and saying how spiritual I was. And to them, though, it made it structured religion with rules and feeling bad about yourself.
Right.
And some people were like, oh, you know, and I was like, no, that's not what religion should be about. That's not what spirituality is about.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what our society views it as. So
right.
I don't know. I have a different view of, you know, what that means.
I think sometimes if we can believe and we say that, oh, yes, I have a religion, however, it's been an unpracticed process for many decades in your life, we'll say, are you willing to look at something that says, how did you get here? Who is vested in keeping you on the earth? And what and how does your heart and soul work every day? I think when you're able to say that, then it's saying, let's give that a start. Sometimes it takes people back to their religion that they were at before. Sometimes it takes them to a different religion. And sometimes it takes them to a place to know a God that they feel doesn't have all of that dogma that maybe humans have put on it. Don't you think sometimes even just cracking the shell is really an absolute glorious place to be? And when you share that?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, when you talk about, you know, the miracles in this life, you know, we're about to lose all the leaves in the fall, you know, and you just look at everything around you and say, how does this all work? Like, how magical these trees know exactly when to grow, and, you know, and then the leaves fall, and, you know, like, just all these things. You know, I'm a newly grandma, so I have a grandbaby who's like 6 weeks old, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, like, that's a miracle, you know?
Right.
That just is amazing how all this is put together.
I think also, too, the idea that sometimes when people say that they can't fathom that conversation, or they kind of like go the other way, it's almost as if they have been broken too hard. They've been holding too much anger, and maybe they just haven't gotten to that point where the realization needs to break open. In other words, maybe they haven't lost any loved ones. Maybe they haven't had any events in their life, or maybe they're just putting up such a wall that they choose to be stay in the space they're in. Don't you think that when loved ones pass on or when you're caretaking for them, that really starts to open your heart and there's no going back, right?
Yeah. I mean, I've had plenty of things happen in my life where, you know, I had to turn to something else. And that was one of my first thoughts when one of the women made the comments. I was like, you know what? You haven't had to turn to a higher power. You haven't been through enough. You know, you're young enough where, and that's where I feel like my age sometimes. I'm like, oh, man. You look back and say, okay, I made it through that.
Right.
But, you know, I did it with God's help, you know, and I had to pray to get through those times in my life. But it's made me who I am, and I'm, you know, I'm perfectly okay with that because it designed me. It helped me be who I am, and now I'm okay with that.
Let's talk about when you share in the book about dimes, you know, about having messages. I think sometimes some people say it's feathers for them. I know for me, I can smell tobacco. It's almost as if someone's got a pipe or a cigarette underneath my nose, and I know who it is. And I think to be able to say, wake up, wake up, wake up, and can you notice that? Isn't that really magical in a way?
It is. There's so many things that happened while I was writing that is actually going to be in my second book. So I've had all kinds of things happen. More dimes. My son was on a public service announcement on television for Vermont. Mm-hmm. And the video starts out with, these trucks can't stop on a dime. And I'm like, really? Like, your grandfather is not just leaving dimes. He's now on TV about them. And that was only one of the TV shows that happened. But, my mom sends me pennies. My grandmother, I find a ton of four-leaf clovers. And there's a part in the book about that. It's when you slow down and you kind of notice that, it really like makes you think. Like, I was pretty busy this week, and yesterday I went to the store and I bought something, and the woman's giving me change, and she had to give me two quarters and a dime, and she's counting out the $1 bills and the $5 bills just in her head, you know. She's pulling out the dollar bills. And then she says, and she grabs the quarters, and then all that she says in the whole time she's counting the money is, and a dime, and then them to me. And
right.
I was like, okay, well, if I was looking for a sign to slow down, maybe that was it, you know, like,
right.
You know, why did she say a dime? She didn't say, here's two ones, a five, and two quarters, and a dime. She only said, and a dime.
Right.
So. There's lots of different signs that people – I have a really good friend who dragonflies is hers. And I took her – we went somewhere last week together, and I'm picking her up in her driveway, and we are turning around in her driveway. And as we're turning around, the car is like stopped for a second, and she says, hold on. There's a dragonfly just hanging out right in front of us. We just sat there and we watched that dragonfly.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, okay. Thank you for visiting.
Right.
And then we went on our way. And it was amazing.
And also, too, I think some people will say, but I don't see anything. Well, for others, it can be smells, as I said before. But also, too, I find most of my messages seem to come by thoughts. You know, lilacs was my grandmother. I always associated with that and, you know, different things. And when you hear not necessarily the word all the time, but you hear a sense in your mind, you're saying lilacs, or you see a picture, or you notice something like York peppermint patties, you know, or stuff like that. But you would just notice it in your thoughts. And that's really enough of recognition to say, yes, we're just passing by. I think sometimes people will say, I have to hear it and sense it and feel it all in my body. In other words, let me just sit with it. And when sometimes it is just as fleeting as it can be to have it, like, as you said, with the dragonfly, a more longer experience. So both of those are quite valid.
For sure. I would definitely agree with that. And even like when you're scrolling through Facebook or something, like
right.
a cardinal will pop up, and that's like a sign from my mom. And I'm like, well, wait a second, how did that just happen?
Right.
So I mean, they're everywhere.
Let's talk about the word empath, and you share it in your book about that. You feel that you are as one, and when we say that, it's truly about being open to energy, whatever that energy is. Being able to have eyes wide open kind of thing. Don't you think that a lot of people say, I can sense something? It's almost, you don't kind of know what it is, but you just know it's out there. You know, I always share on the radio, I went to Trader Joe's one day, and there were two women and they were talking, rather curtly, more or less, and they were standing in front of the lettuce, and I was waiting to get through, and I'm just standing there. Finally, I just said, excuse me, and I walked between them, and I went, oh, shouldn't have done that, because all of a sudden, I got sick and had to leave the store, because I went through their energy that wasn't good. Don't you think sometimes we pick up great energy? Sometimes we notice when something is off?
Yeah, for a lot of years, I didn't understand that. And just having that knowledge and understanding what you just experienced really helps. Like, I realized that I was taking on so much negative energy, and that's what was really making me sick. Because I'm just highly sensitive to energies, but also to, you know, different foods and different chemicals. And, you know, I just think that there's a lot out there that affects my system.
Right.
But what you were just saying about the, you know, walking through somebody's negative energy, I wasn't aware of that. Mm-hmm. And I didn't understand it. And so once I read more about that, now, like, I know how to protect myself a little bit better. I know how to recover from something like that. I can deal with it better than I could when I didn't understand it, because then I didn't understand it, and it was like I was taking it on and then coming home and not understanding what was going on.
Right.
Because I feel it inside my body. It's not just like a thought, like, oh, those two women are, you know, angry or whatever. I feel it inside my body.
Yeah. You know, I was right after that, I was like hanging onto the basket, and I was walking around and didn't even put anything into my basket. And it was like, I said to my husband, I have to go. He said, you just got in here. We came all this way to go to the store and you're going to leave. I said, absolutely. I said, I just can't do it. And I just had to leave. Like, it was so pressuring. I think sometimes we also say, can we sense and feel before someone's ready to pass away when they're ill? You know, I've been in healthcare for almost 6 decades now, and, you know, passing through the hospital all the time, it would be like, sometimes it would be just such a drain of a day, or sometimes I would go down the hall and it would be like, woman's alone, that one can't breathe, this one can't understand, oh, another one, you know, what's going on, they're arguing. And I think when we are attuned to this, sometimes it's when you really notice that you can do this with energy, you get too much chatter in your head. Did you have that experience?
Yeah, and I didn't really understand it until I read more about it. Those are the books that appeared like in the middle of me writing my book and helped me refocus and focus on myself and say like, oh, this is what's going on within me. And how can I be okay with this? Like, I always knew that this was a part of me, but I didn't want to share it with anybody because I thought people would think that I was weird, which probably they still do at certain points. But there are people out there that totally understand it. Like, talking with you, you know, you understand what I'm going through.
Right.
But some people don't understand. And so that's been the, like, just being able to admit that I was an empath was a big step for me, and to say, like, okay, these energies affect me and I have to be able to recover. And so, like, when I have a day, you know, where I have to be at a conference for the day, then, you know, I have to come home and I have to do things that will help me feel better. And, like, in the book, I talk about, like, if I'm not exercising or eating healthy or being in nature, I can get really sick pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. And it's not like a cold, or it's not like a, you know, the sick like other people think. It's my nervous system is so overloaded that I just have to be quiet. Like, I have to, you know, just eat healthy and go and do my thing. And outside in nature is where I feel, you know, a lot of sense of peace, especially being alone. So I have to balance that alone time with people time, and that's when I'm learning about myself.
You know, what's so interesting that you say, you know, about empaths, we always talk about them as, yes, they can feel and sense energy, and everybody gets so excited, oh, I can feel this, I know that, I sense that, and then they kind of walk around, I'm going to tell you what I just felt, and they kind of want to spew all that. But then what happens is that as more energies come in and more and more and more, it's sort of like an empath is meant to feel, sense, and process things. They are not meant to feel, sense, collect, and imprint them on themselves. In other words, an empath is not a collector of everything they feel. When so many times people say, oh, this is so draining being an empath, that's their next step of learning or their next step of processing is how to process it through so that you don't hold it or collect it, don't you think?
Yeah. I mean, I say in my book, like, you know, I feel like when I started to write my book, I started to feel emotions for the first time in my life and started to, you know, admit them and figure them out. And then all of a sudden, like, I felt like I had every energy that I've ever met that I was also, that I had taken on over 50 years. And that's why I felt passionate about sharing my story, because if I can help, you know, a 17 or an 18-year-old who, you know, is just going off to college understand that they don't have to take on this stuff energetically, then imagine what their life is going to be like. Like, they'll understand it and be able to not absorb like a sponge and take on those other people's energies.
Yeah, it really takes a lot of time to be able to get to that point, to be able to say, what is the energy from outside? Maybe this energy is someone else's or something else's. Maybe I stepped in and engaged in it, or maybe it's not mine at all, and some of them that are mine. You know, there's so many different paradigms there. Once you become an empath, you say, oh, what next? It's sort of like, well, now it's time to figure it out. Yes?
Yeah, so it's funny that you say that it takes a long time, because people read my book and they say, oh, you know, that's great that you figured it out. And, you know, you get to the end of my story and, like, you're just so excited for me. And then I'm like, yeah, but I have to wake up every day and I have to do it all again. Like, it's not like I get to this magical, you know, mountain and I'm healed and I'm cured. I'm around energies all day long. And, you know, it's okay, but I have to, you know, learn to take care of myself and learn to try to distinguish. It's funny because you're talking kind of boundaries is what I kind of envision when you were just talking. And I can almost manifest what happens during my days now, because, like, this morning I'm thinking, okay, in my job and in everything, I need to think about my boundaries and I need to get clear on my boundaries. Like, what's my stuff? What's somebody else's stuff? You know, both in work, but also in energy. And I swear that this, I'm at this big meeting and the Agency of Education gentleman who is there at this meeting, this big meeting, there's probably 60, 70 people in the room, says, well, we all need to work on our boundaries. And I was like, really? We're going to talk about this in education, like in a room full of educators?
Right.
That was my goal today, was to think about my boundaries.
Right.
And, like, you know, it's amazing how sometimes stuff like that can happen.
And it does show up, and people will say, but that's not the right way. But then also what it shows you is where they are. And then you will know. You could just sit back with a smile and say, take it in, because let it process through. Because when they get to that point, then they'll find you and they'll say, oh, I remember what you said that time. Or, you know, you could tell somebody something like 10,000 times and it won't matter. However, they might come back 20 years later and say, you know, you told me something then and I really thought you were crazy and I never bothered with it, but look at me now 20 years later and that's all I can think about. So you never really know how you're helping or encouraging someone or even showing and reflecting to someone about these things and these changes that are going on. Yes?
Yeah, I feel like those are kind of planting seeds, and I can look back over my life and I thought some people, you know, 20 years ago were crazy when they said something, or it just, you know, just the simple thing of meditation. I was like, yeah, right. And now I'm like, oh my goodness, I wish I'd listened, you know, but it's all good. And, you know, now I understand, now I get it. So,
Yeah, it sure takes a while for some, and it'll take a moment for others. But the difference is that there is no time. So whatever it takes for you, it's just as well. And I think sometimes people, just as you said, you know, you get to this point and everything's great. Well, we weren't meant to be all wearing white robes, going to the monastery and all be, you know, chanting, you know. We were all meant to have diseases, wreck our cars, not have any money, you know, love going to the movies and take a swim in December, you know. Whatever it is out there for the experience versus saying, I'm limiting my experience. Like even when you talk about boundaries, sometimes people will put so many tight boundaries on themselves that they can't live in the meantime.
I think what I meant by boundaries was to not take on other people's stuff too.
Mm-hmm.
That's a, like, I don't know. Like sometimes my energy, I'll be honest, is sometimes like I want to love everybody, and sometimes I need to, I don't know.
Yeah. I think probably there is like what I always say, it's not always, it's their stuff, it's my stuff, and we don't always have to leap into their bodies. You know, I do a lot of energy work. And sometimes people will call and they will say, well, okay, so I want to try a session with you. Can you tell me what I'm going to do with my work or my house is? And I said, I'm not jumping into your body, okay? You know, if something's going up, if I find something or if I hear something in what you're saying, I'll reflect it back to you, but I'm not jumping into your space. And I think that's really the boundaries with being an empath is you could very easily feel as if you're in that space, yes?
Yeah, I think that that's what I'm talking about. And thank you for making it clear because I couldn't come up with the words that I wanted to explain it. But yeah, like I want to jump and help everybody. And that's what I talk about in my book. Like I can't help everybody. And also, it's not my job, and they're on their own journey, and I need to let people have their journey, and I just need to focus on my journey and be me.
Yeah, we're not all pegs all trying to line up, you know. Everybody's thinking the spiritual path, you know, everybody, let's get on that pony. Everybody pick up a rock and put it down and see how far you can create a yellow brick road. No way, no how. That's not the spiritual journey. Spiritual journey has holes and trials and pain and suffering and great joys and things. I think if we just are truly honest about the human experience, that really will set a lot of people free versus saying, I'm in pain, give me something else to fix me, and now you're going to do a spiritual journey to fix you when it doesn't work, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I talk about actually, you know, being in pain and fixing and the whole medical system just being so backwards. I don't know. I just think that our thoughts really affect our bodies and our pain. And, you know, that comes out in my book also. But our thoughts affect our bodies so much so that we have to start paying attention to that.
Yeah, it really is a challenge these days to be able to go around and be able to say, what do we do next in light of all these changes of our being? We would not have had this conversation even 10 years ago. So really, truly, it's about saying whatever shows up, just dance with it. Isn't that really the best that we can do? Because there's so many people in so many different levels. We're not trying to, you know, have a lot of, we're not trying to be a guru and have all these followers. It's really about just listening to everyone and seeing how they're doing, yes?
Yes. You just used the word guru, and I just heard today that, do you know what that stands for? G-U-R-U. That's how you spell it. And sorry, I just totally lost when all I heard was guru. So it just lost our conversation because of that word. I was just like, oh my God, I just heard that today.
Right.
G-U-R-U. Like, just be you. Like, just enjoy the moment in being you. And that's what we all need to come to and not worry about everything else.
Yeah, I think we've kind of like given our power, you know, in closing, we'll talk about this for a second. We've kind of given our power away to maybe the healthcare system. We've given our power away to teachers to be able to get us into school, the healthcare system to fix our bodies, to the church to save us when, you know, we do things wrong with penance, you know, and the mental health people to say, hey, when I feel crazy, you're going to give me a drug and I'm good too. And I think sometimes now we're truly at the point of saying, okay, we did all that. Now that's boring. Let's move on. We need to figure out where is this stuff coming from? Where do we create it? And how can we do it differently and have a different dance? That's truly the spiritual path we're on now, yes?
Yeah, and I'm curious, you know, like we're in our 50s and 60s now, mm-hmm. and like are younger people beginning to think about that more? I mean, I know that Dr. Christiane Northrup says that, you know, like our brains change, you know, when we get up into our 50s. And that, like, I wonder, is that just our brain changing and that's why we're thinking of this? Or is there this whole spirit in our culture that is beginning to have these conversations?
Right. The whole culture is having it right now. It's in the collective. However, kids that are being born now are not coming in with all of the old dogma imprinted in their DNA. So whereas a lot of times people will say, you know, I did this in my past life or that, or I kind of feel like this ancestral stuff is really bogging me down. In other words, they aren't using that language anymore. They're kind of coming in fresh and new. And they're going to create something differently because they're not working from, we have to fix it again because, oh, we remember how it was broken. Well, no, they don't have that memory.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's a much fresher place to be. You know, I have three grandchildren. And when I looked at their pictures, because I didn't see them, you know, I haven't seen them for a while. When they were first born, I looked at one and I said, wisdom. The next one, it was magic. And the next one, I call joy. And that's not their names, but that's what I see when I see them. I don't see anything else. I can't feel anything else. I can't sense anything else. So almost when, you know, my kids will say, oh, well, so-and-so, you know, something, I'll say, oh, wisdom. And it's almost like it jumps up in my head. And I think when we see that and notice that, it's better than sometimes saying, oh, but they have your grandfather's eyes. I wonder if they will look like him. Maybe they'll take a job, like, you know what I mean? And you kind of tend to clone them as such. And that's really, truly not where the kids are coming in these days.
No, yeah. I can definitely sense a difference.
Yeah, they're coming in very, very, very diverse. It's kind of cool in a way.
Yep.
Absolutely. Well, Monica, it was such a pleasure to speak to you today because I think sometimes we say, I would love to have a fresh conversation and be able to say, you know, I don't have to worry. You know, I can just say what my inner thoughts are, and that's what we did today. Yes?
Yeah, it was very joyful. It was nice to just talk and feel okay about talking about these types
right.
of things. This is the conversation that I just enjoy so much these days.
Yes, it sure, it makes your day lighter, doesn't it?
Oh, it just makes it so much better. You know, I connected with a lot of people about my book, and every time I do, I just feel so good inside.
Yeah, it does. Well, Monica, can you share with the listeners how to find out more information about your work? That would be wonderful.
So I'm working on my website. It is up, www.monicalmorrissey.com. There'll be some changes coming up there soon. I'm also training to become a health and life coach and a writing coach. So please reach out to me at monicalmorrissey@gmail.com is my email. It's also on my website, I believe. And then I'm also on Facebook. That's primarily where I'm posting and interacting, and then you can see like where I'm going to be next. I just finished an expo in Connecticut. I'm going to be in Toronto in 2 weeks at the big book fair, Toronto Book Fair. So you get to find out like where I'm going to be. So Facebook is probably the best place.
Very cool. Well, Monica, it was such a pleasure to speak with you today. We thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for the opportunity. I really appreciate it.
You're so welcome. If you'd like to find out more information about Monica Morrissey, again, her book is Dimes from Heaven, How Coins and Coincidences Helped Me Discover My Life as an Empath, please do click on the link on the bottom of today's show page for more information to go directly to her website, and you can contact her through her website. And it truly is about being able to say, what's going up for me today? I don't know. I'm just going to go with eyes wide open, see what kind of magic is around me. Maybe I can create some mischief, turn some rocks, smell some flowers, and hug some animals. And wouldn't it be a great day? Because all of that is just ease and dance to my heart. Thank you so much for joining us today. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. Until tomorrow, have a great day.
Today we discussed many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to, and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family, clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit drjeanettegallagher.com to schedule a phone appointment today.